Good vach, good morning to everybody. Very, very fascinating insights that I'd like to share with you. A really new, interesting approach to understanding Tzaras and the Parshios of Tazria and Metzorah. And as I reviewed Parshios, Tazria, and Metzorah, it became more and more clear to me that the reason why most years we read these two Parshios together is because Tazria and Metzorah really are one Parsha. And we talk about this often, the way that the Parshios HaShavua, as we refer to them, and their division is not really a division that's necessarily logical in terms of separating, paragraphing, breaking, etc. Prakim are very powerful in terms of representing new beginnings and new starts, Parshios Psuchos, Parshios Stumos, which we've discussed over the years. But here to really, really appreciate, understand, and to bring out the essence of Tzaras, which we contemporarily or colloquially translate as leprosy, which is probably not a very good translation. Rabbi Hirsch himself makes the point that it really was not leprosy, something we talked about in other sittings. But what I'd like to do today is really to first take a very sweeping view of the Parshios of Tazria and Metzorah, share with you what and how the development of Tzaras works, and then to raise some very, very interesting questions, and I think some very poignant questions that will bring up a really, really new understanding of what Tzaras is. When I say new, it really is not new, but it's really very old. It's chadash shehu yashan, v'yashan shehu chadash. It's something new which is old, and something old which is new. And the approach that I will present here today is really the approach of the Ramban, Nachmanides, and an approach of the Rambam. And both the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, as well as the Ramban in his commentary here in Parshas Tazria, shed light on a very, very powerful way to appreciate and understand Tzaras. Tzaras we usually look at as an ailment, as a sickness, a disease, something that's very, very painful, bad. And indeed, that's true. There's no question it's a punishment. And as we know, the Gemara in Maseches Erchin describes, explains, as do all the Rishonim, that Tzaras was a punishment. However, as the Rambam and the Ramban explain, punishment also has blessing in it. And the punishment was a form of a revelation. And the punishment means that God is talking to me. And that's really the idea that we will try to bring out about Tzaras, is that really when there are struggles, difficulties, challenges, punishments, sickness, death, we don't understand it. However, in good times, and when the Jewish people were acting the way they were supposed to act, God's punishment was a sign that God was talking to the people. And as you are very, very, very familiar with from the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, it's very clear from the Sfarim of Yoshua and Shoftim and Malachim, and really throughout all of the Gedolei HaNevi'im, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yecheskel, prophecy means that God is speaking to his people and means that God is showing his face in a very omnipresent way, in a very clear way. It's referred to as Gilui Panim as opposed to Hester Panim. That God is shining his face on the people and telling them, you're behaving or you're misbehaving. It's almost when a parent or a teacher gives a child or student the silent treatment. That's more painful than when a parent or a child or a parent or a teacher calls the student out. When you call the student or the child out, that means you care about me, you love me, you're interested in me. You see that I'm doing wrong and I'm acting out and you're reacting to my acting out. It means there's a relationship. It means you care. What occurred in the times of the Mishkan, in the times of the Mikdash, when Eretz Yisrael was the way it was supposed to be, when Klal Yisrael was doing good, it was obvious, it was clear. Good things happened. The parasha we read three times a day. You do good, you'll be rewarded. You don't do good, you'll be punished. So there was a very clear relationship between God and his people, the same way we relate to our family, our friends, our boss, our employee, any form of relationship. If there's a conversation, if there's a give and take, if there's some sort of challenge that's being presented, then I know that there's a relationship. So sometimes I'm being punished, sometimes I'm being rewarded. But at least it's there. The struggle that we have today is a struggle where the relationship has been severed. Where since the time that Nevuah, prophecy, stopped, since the time that the Beis HaMikdash was no longer, and from the moment that Klal Yisrael exited and was sent into exile, and prophecy was no longer, as you're familiar with the end of the Nevi'im, from Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, That means that there's an end of a relationship in terms of the face-to-face relationship. And it's a different form of a relationship, and it's a harder relationship. Because when we do good, we don't know and we don't see that God is rewarding us. When a child or a student is doing well, and the teacher and the parent doesn't reward that, or doesn't say, what a wonderful job you're doing, dear son or dear daughter, or my student or students, then the student or child doesn't know to continue to respond and continue to do positively. It's called positive reinforcement. Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, there was positive reinforcement and there was negative reinforcement. But now when a Jew or a Jewess, and when Kalal Yisrael, and the Jewish community does what they are supposed to do, or does not know what they were supposed to do, we're unable to see and understand God's reaction, which makes it that much more difficult to us. So as I will share with you this morning, both the Ramban and the Rambam, in their independent commentaries, in appreciating, understanding, analyzing Tzaras and the Parshas of Tazria Metzora, bring out a different way to understand Tzaras. That it was a time when the Jewish people were Yoshuvim al Admasam. It was a time when Klal Yisrael was in the land of Israel. It was a time of clear transparency, where the relationship was present. And therefore, if there was tzaras that was given, it means I did something wrong. And that's why I have become sick. That's why I have an ailment. That's why I'm hurting. That's why I have to leave the camp, because I did something wrong. Thank you, God, for speaking to me and correcting my ways. Now I know I can do better. That's very much a way to appreciate and understand Sefer Vayikra in general, and Karbanos more broadly. And that is that a korban is milashon karev, karov. That means that there's a relationship, there's something to talk about. I want to get close to you. Sometimes when a relationship is severed, the challenge, the difficulty, the stress and the strife, and the division causes love and causes a sense of camaraderie and harmonious relationship develops really from sometimes the greatest difficulties, struggles, quote unquote, fights and discrepancies and challenges and the like. So that's really the approach of the Rambam and the Ramban. I'm giving you the bottom line really before we begin the analysis of the parasha, but that's where we're headed in terms of appreciating Parshas Tazria Metzora. And I was very, very inspired, really, and enlightened to appreciate the approach of the Rambam and the Ramban from a different perspective than we've discussed it over the years. If you take a look in the beginning of Parshios Tazria, you'll notice the following. Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13, is really the beginning of the story and of the episode of the Metzora. So it's on page 608, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, begins to tell us about Adam, if a man, of course, refers to a man or a woman, gets on his flesh a se'es of sapachas, o baharas, or some type of baharas. So these are all types of lesions. These are all types of tzaras, different formula that are placed on the body. So the Torah in the beginning of Parshas Tazria describes what's known as tzaras, a guf, tzaras that's placed on the body. And if you continue throughout Parshas Tazria, the lion's share of the Parsha discusses Tzaras HaGuf, this form of an ailment of the body. Skip down to the bottom of page 610, and again you see, Nega Tzaras Kisia Ba'adam. We continue to see a form and a type and a face of Tzaras that is all over a human being's body, all over a human being's flesh. And that continues throughout page 612, 614. Basar kia be'oro shchin v'nirpa. O basar kia be'oro michvas esh. We're talking about inflammations. We're talking about burns. We're talking about all types of tzaras aguf. And that continues to page 614, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Lamed. V'isho isha, man or woman, kia bonega berosh obazaken. A man or woman who gets either an affliction on the scalp or on the beard. So Parshas Tazria keeps on detailing, delineating, describing and articulating all forms of tzaras on the body. If you skip to page 616, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Ches, V'ish o isha kia b'or b'saram baharos, baharos levanos, spots, white spots all over the skin of the flesh. And the Torah continues toward the bottom of page 616 in Pasuk Mem Vav. So for 46 psukim in chapter 13, Perek Yud Gimel, Patil Pasuk Mem Zayin, for a series of 47 psukim, and this is the lengthiest amount of psukim dedicated to Tzaras is all about tsaras haguf, all about the tsaras that's all over the human body, all different parts of the body, the type of ailment, the way it looked, and the way it was formulated. Thus, we are introduced to tsaras, and specifically to tsaras haguf, tsaras of the body. And then the Torah shifts its discussion in Pasuk Mem Zayin to a different form of tsaras. So we move from tsaras haguf now to tsaras habegen. Not only was there a form of this ailment or this sickness that attacked the human body and all over the human body, but it also attacked clothing. Take a look in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Mem Zayin, the bottom of page 616. The habeged kiyebo nega tsaras, clothing, any type of garment that was afflicted with tsaras, bebeged semer or bebeged pishim, either woolen or linen garments. And note that, by the way, that we're talking about wool and linen. O b'shisi o ba'erev, or if it attacked the warp or the woof, meaning the length or the width of the clothing. Lapishchim o letsemer o ba'or o b'chol melechas or. If it went all over the warp and the woof, the length and the width of wool and linen, or any type of leather, that is what's called tsaras habegen. And if you turn to page 618, again toward the end of Parshas Tezriah, so for the next 10 psukim, which brings us to the end of Parshas HaShavua, we deal with tsaras of the begin. And the Ramban Nachmanides raises the question, because if you look in these 10 psukim, you'll see something startling. All the way beginning with tsaras habegin in Pasuk Mem Zayin, until the end of Parshas Tezriah, there's one refrain that repeats itself over and over and over again. And take a look in Pasuk Mem Tes, and it'll be blatantly and patently obvious to you. Take a look, the Pasuk says, V'hoya hanega yirak rok, O Adam Dam, if the color was the depth of green or red, Babeged o ba'or o b'shasi o ba'erv o b'chol kli'or nego tsarasu. The Torah again repeats in the very next pasuk that tsaras of clothing and of garments attacks shasi, erev, and or. It attacks wool, linen, and leather. And in every other ensuing pasuk, toward the end of the parsha, you continue to see that the Torah repeats this point, that it attacks wool, it attacks linen, and it attacks leather. Asks the Ramban, the Torah is never superfluous. The Torah never repeats itself. Why does every single pasuk, starting in Pasuk Mem Zayin, all the way till the end of Parshas Tezriah, does the Torah tell us exactly on what form of clothing the tsaras continues to attack? Take a look, you'll see it again. Pasuk Nun Aleph, 51. V'ras hanega b'yom ha'shvi, ki pasa hanega b'beged, o b'shasi, o b'erev, o b'or. Again, wool, linen, and leather. Take a look in the very next pasuk, nun beis. V'saraf es ha'beged, o ha'shasashi, o es ha'erev, b'tsemer, u b'pishtim, o k'lior. Every single pasuk repeats itself over and over and over and over and over again. That the type of clothing, the garment, that the tsaras habeged attacked was wool, linen, and leather, and asks the Ramban this very, very important and powerful question. Why does the Torah have to repeat itself? We know Chazal can understand from one word, from one letter, from a missing yud, can extrapolate and understand a plethora of halachos. So why is it dafka when it comes to tsaras habeged, the tsaras that attacks the clothing, that the Torah requires the repetition of the fact that it attacks wool, linen, and leather over and over and over again, upwards of about 10 times in a series of 10 psukim? That is the question that the Ramban raises. And this brings us to the end of Parshas Tezriah. And this is why, as I expressed at the beginning, you can't understand, you can't appreciate Parshas Tezriah without Parshas Metzora. You can't understand tsaras without looking at the totality of these two parshas. Thus, we take a look in Parshas Metzora, the coming week's Parsha Perek Yud Dalet, chapter 14. So Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13 of Parshas Tezriah, is a series of 59 psukim. The majority, 47 of those psukim, are dealing with tsaras aguf, tsaras that attacks the body, and then the latter 10 or 11 psukim talk about tsaras abeged. So seemingly, Parshas Tazria is one perek and closes out by describing two forms of tsaras, the body and unclothing. And then Perek Yudalin naturally segues into the cleansing process, the tahara, the purification of the mitzora. And take a look throughout Perek Yudalin, chapter 14, we describe, detail, delineate, and articulate very carefully and very, very specifically how it is that the mitzora re-enters the camp. What does the mitzora have to do? There are types of the way that the mitzora, he or she has to shave. There are types of karbanos that the mitzora needs to bring. There's a first stage. There's a final stage of purification. There's a korban that's brought. So if you continue to look throughout chapter 14, Perek Yudalit, all the way until Pasuk Lamed Beis, on page 624, for a series of 32 psukim, the Torah describes the cleansing and purification process of the mitzvah. And one would imagine that that should complete the story, the halachos, and the institution of the mitzvah. However, shockingly, surprisingly, the Torah introduces us to a third form of tzaras. After all of the purification, the sanctification, the karbanos that the mitzora brings and the way that the mitzora cleanses himself or herself, all of a sudden, Perek Yudalit, Psukim Lamed Gimel Lamed Dalet, were introduced to a third form of tzaras. Not only was there tzaras haguf, tzaras on the body, not only was there tzaras habeget, tzaras on the clothing, but a third form of tzaras. Tzaras on the home, on the house, on one's place of abode. Take a look, page 624. Perek, Yud Dalet, Psukim Lamed Gimel and Lamed Dalet, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe vel Aaron Lemor. Ki Savo el Eretz Canaan, when you enter the land of Israel, Asher ani nosin lachem la'achuza, that I give you as an inheritance. V'nosati negot tzaras beves Eretz achuza sechem. I will land you, and I will give you, and I will institute and deliver tzaras on your homes. And the Ramban again here raises two powerful questions. Question number one asks the Ramban, why dafka when it comes to tzaras abayis, does the Torah introduce it with kisavol eretz Canaan? When you enter the land of Canaan, what about tzaras aguf and tzaras abegin? Are those not going to be delivered if you're not in Canaan, if you're not in Eretz Yisrael? What's unique about tzaras habayis, that dafka when it comes to the type of tzaras that afflicts and affects one's home, that it's dafka in Eretz Yisrael? Question number one. Question number two, the Ramban asks, Parasuk Lamed Daled, the Torah carefully tells us, Vinosati negot tzaras beves Eretz achuzaskam. I will deliver the tzaras, says God, me, myself, and I. Anivelo malach, anivelo shliach, anivelo acher, only me. It's not going to be anybody else who's going to deliver it. Well, what about tzaras haguf, and what about tzaras habeger? Who delivered that? Was it not God? Why then does the Torah carefully articulate and express specifically, Vinosati negot tzaras beves eretz achuzaschem. I will deliver tzaras into the land of your inheritance. Why is tzaras habayis given specifically, delivered by the hand of God? Why is it dafka given only when you enter the land of Israel? And as we asked, why now, after the tahara process, after the cleansing and the purification of the mitzora, after the affliction of the tzaras on one's body and one's beged, all of a sudden does the Torah describe to us a third form of tzaras, tzaras habayis, which takes us, by the way, all the way to the end of Perek Yudalit, chapter 14, Pasuk Nun Zayin, and that ultimately closes out the halachos and the mitzvah of havas and karbanos of the mitzora. So that are the three chapters we have, two chapters rather, that we have about the mitzora. Perek Yud Gimel and Perek Yudalit, chapters 13 and 14, which really shares And it takes place in the lion's share of all of these two parshas, Tazria and Metzorah. These two chapters, the beginning of Parshas Tazria and the end of Parshas Metzorah, deal with other forms of karbanos that are brought. The beginning of Parshas Tazria deals with a woman who gives birth to a child, has to bring a korban. The end of Perek Tezvav is emissions that require the offering of a korban. But these two prakim, which span Parshas Tazria and Metzorah, prakim Yud Gimel and Yud Aleph, are the parshas of the Metzorah. Let's ask yet another question. Why is it that we need three forms of tzaras? Why is there tzaras on the body, tzaras on clothing, and tzaras on a house? Why the need for three types of tzaras? And why is it that the Torah begins discussing the laws of tzaras aguf, then tzaras abeged, and then tzaras abayis? Why in that order? And to strengthen the question, the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, that indeed it actually occurred in the opposite order. First one was afflicted with tzaras on one's home. Then one was afflicted with tzaras on one's clothing. And only finally after that was one afflicted with tzaras on one's body. If it actually happened in the reverse order, then the Torah articulates, why does the Torah describe it first on the body, then on clothing, and then on the home? When indeed it actually happened in real time in the exact opposite way. First it afflicted one's home, then it afflicted one's clothing, and only then did it afflict one's body. How do we make sense of all of these questions? To review, we have three forms of tzaras: on the clothing, on the home, and on the body. Why do we need three? Question number one. What's the purpose? What's the reason? Is it not enough just to have one form of ailment, disease, leprosy, either on the clothing, on the house, or on the body? Why do you need three types? Question number one. Question number two. Why does the Torah tell us and teach us the halachas in an order that it did not occur in? Starting with the body, then on clothing, then on the house. If the Gemara tells us it occurred in the opposite way. First it happened on one's home, then on one's clothing, and then on one's house. This is a question raised by the Klei Yakar. Question raised by many, many of the Mefarshei HaChumash. Question number three and four. Why, when it comes to the tzaras that's on the house, does it come all the way after the purification process that's described and detailed and very, very carefully in Parshas Tazria? Why does bayis seem to have its own set of halachas? Why is it only given and delivered v'nasati by God? Why does the Torah articulate that it's specifically God who delivers the tzaras on the home? Question number four, why dafkas tzaras abayis, something that happens only in Eretz Yisrael, only in the land of Israel? Why? Why is that so special? Why is that so unique to understanding and to the delivery of the tzaras on one's home? Those are the questions that I'd like to address, answer, and appreciate. And I'd like to begin with the commentary of the Ramban, Nachmanides, not in Parshas Tazria, not in Parshas Metzorah, but rather it's a famous, celebrated Ramban in the end of Parshas Bo, a very timely commentary of the Ramban as it relates to Pesach. The Ramban notes, and he says the following thing, Min hanisim hagidolum umufursamim adam moda benisim nistarim. Do you know why God delivered us out of the hands of the Egyptians in a miraculous way? Do you know why there was Makas Bechoros? Do you know why there were 10 Makos? Do you know why the Exodus was so incredible? B'yadcha gedola b'zrach anatuya. Do you know why there was Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea? Open miracles? Not because a Jew needs to live with open miracles. And not because Klal Yisrael and the Jewish community live with open miracles. But rather it's just the opposite. Min hanisim hagedolim umufursamim adam moda minisim nistarim. We only have open miracles, and God only gives us open miracles in order to show us that everything that occurs day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute is also miraculous. Open miracles, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Makos, the Yomtuf of Pesach is given to us to make us recognize that after Pesach and before Pesach, it is also miraculous. Sometimes we need to see God to know that God is with us day to day, 24/7. But now that I know that God split the sea, now that I know that God took the Jewish people out of Egypt, now that I know that God passed over every firstborn's home, now that I know that God is able to turn water to blood and blood to water, Tzfadei, Akinim, Arav, Dever, Shchin, Barad, Arbe, Choshech, Now that I know about all of God's incredible might, I also can use that to hone my vision and to appreciate sunrise, sunset, and all elements of the world and the cosmos and the plant life and the animal kingdom, our health. All of that is miraculous as well. But we're blinded and we don't see that. So therefore, often in our life, we need a automatic rush of miracle. We need a rush to see that God is here. God is everywhere, up and down and all around, to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us, loves us. And when we see God and when we notice God openly, that allows us to see God also in quiet, silent times when God's face is not as clear. That, says the Ramban, is a fundamental tenet of philosophical truth of Yiddishkeit. Min hanisim hagidolim umufursamim, adam moda benisim nistarim. Open miracles are only there to allow us to appreciate, to understand, and to recognize that God is with us all the time. Every day, day in and day out. Open miracles are not necessarily great because it means that Kalal Yisrael don't see God. And we need those moments to allow us to turn our face back to God. In Mitzrayim, we didn't see God. So therefore, we needed the Makos, we needed Yetzias Mitzrayim, we needed Kriyas Yamsuf to allow us to give us the energy to reinitiate our relationship with Hashem. And therefore, that is what the Ramban explains is the reason why we have so many mitzvot, zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim, tefillin, zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim, and mitzvah on top of mitzvah, all of Parshas Kedoshim, which we'll read shortly, Parshas Kiseitze. We have so many mitzvot, Shabbos, zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim, we say it in Kiddush Friday night. Everything we do is zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim. But why is it zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim? Dafka, to remind us and to allow us to appreciate, to understand, to know and to cherish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us day in, day out, constantly without fail. Based on this explanation of the Ramban, we can understand exactly what's happening in Parshas Tazria Metzora and specifically answer the questions that we raised. And the Ramban himself in Parshas Tazria says the following, and I read you the words in the Ramban, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Mem Zayin. The Ramban writes, regarding Tzaras HaBeged, Ze'eno B'teva Klal, Tzaras on clothing is unnatural. It's miraculous. V'lohave ba'olam, and is something that is beyond explanation. How could it be that a leprosy, an ailment, a sickness will attack clothing? It's an impossibility, says the Ramban. Ze'enenu b'teva klal. V'lohave ba'olam, we have never seen such a thing. There's never a disease on clothing. V'chein nige habatim. The same thing is true with tzaras on a home. Homes and clothing can never become sick. We've never found that. Not even the CDC has discovered any ailment, any disease on clothing or on a home. Aval, says the Ramban, Bios Yisrael Shleimim LaHashem, when the Jewish people are complete with God, Yeruach Hashem Aleim Tamid, God's spirit will rest upon Klal Yisrael constantly. Lahamid Gufam Ubigdehem Uvateim Bemaretov. You know what happens? When Klal Yisrael is living properly and appropriately, God's presence will be found constantly, and we will be able to see God not only in our body, in our health, but even in the clothing that we wear and the homes that we live in. And thus the Ramban explains, Mipnei Zeh, this is the reason. Einam nohagim ela b'begadim levanim v'lo b'tzvuim. Let's go back to the specific questions that we asked, says the Ramban. Do you know why there was only tzaras on clothing, on white clothing? Ki ulai hatzeva hotzi hakira hahu b'mokam ahu kitiva v'loetz pelokimi. If you have colored clothing, and on the colored clothing, you're going to see some form of disease, one would argue, well, maybe it's not the hand of God. Maybe it's some sort of disease that could occur on colored clothing. But if it's white, there's only one way to explain it. It's the hand of God. There's no other way to perceive, to appreciate, to understand, to reconcile how one's clothing could receive this ailment or this disease called tzaras. And thus the Ramban explains that's the reason why every single pasuk regarding tzaras habeged specifically articulates shesi, erev, and or. Those three types of clothing, wool, linen, and leather. Because it's so miraculous, it's so incredible, it's so beyond description, that if it was in the world of Teva, it's true we could figure out that all types of clothing theoretically can become and contract this disease. But when something is miraculous, says the Ramban, we can't learn one thing from another. When it comes to the natural world and the way the Torah and Chazal work, so we could use the forms of extrapolation. Rabbi Shmuel has klalim, Rabbi Akiva has klalim. How do we doresh the Torah? But when something is miraculous, the form of tzaras on one's beged, that requires description and articulating in each and every single pasuk. Could you believe it? That on one's clothing and one's garment, on one's linens, wool and linen and leather all received and contracted this very painful disease called tzaras. Therefore, the Ramban expresses that what's unique about tzaras habeged and tzaras haguf, the type of ailment and disease that attacked clothing and home, was beyond understanding, beyond description. Ze'enenu b'teva klal, that's the language of the Ramban, ki hadavar nes. These were miracles, open miracles, the likes of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamtzuf. Tzaras HaBeged and Tzaras HaGuf were unbelievable, were incredible, were beyond belief. And therefore the Ramban explains exactly the same point in Tzaras HaBayis. The Ramban says, do you know why the Pasuk says, V'nosati, I will deliver? Because it's a miracle. The tzaras that attacks one's home is miraculous, and therefore only I can deliver it. Nobody else can deliver it. And therefore the pasuk tells us, V'haya ki savo el ha'aretz, when you enter the land of Israel, because such a miracle can only occur in the land of Israel. Tzaras on the bayis, on the home, and tzaras on the beged, on the clothing, are so miraculous, are so incredible. And the Ramban himself suggests that even though the Torah doesn't use the language of V'haya ki savo el ha'aretz, that the land that you will receive tzaras in, regarding tzaras habeged, the Ramban theorizes and hypothesizes and is mechadesh that it's also true when it comes to tzaras and clothing. It also occurred only in Eretz Yisrael. Thus, the Ramban's explanation at tzaras habeged, tzaras habayis, are specifically unique to miracles that occurred, to miracles that took place dafka in Eretz Yisrael and only in Eretz Yisrael. If now we understand tzaras habayis and tzaras haguf, that they were miraculous, that they were incredible, that they were nisim guluyim, the Klei Yoker in his commentary at the end of Parshas Tazria explains, let me explain to you and share with you what tzaras haguf is about. Tzaras on one's body. Because that also was miraculous. But we weren't able to see it and to appreciate, because we all have ailments on our body. We all get sick. We all don't feel well. But how many people can say it's the hand of God that's making me sick? How many people see that, appreciate that, understand that? And therefore the Ramban says that's why we need three forms of tzaras, says the Klei Yoker. Because when we appreciate, when we see the nisim guluyim, the incredible miracles of tzaras habayis and tzaras habeged, it will hone our vision and allow us to see and to appreciate that the same thing is true regarding the tzaras, the affliction of our body. And therefore, the only reason we have the latter two forms of tzaras on our clothing and our home is to make us realize that when we get sick with tzaras, it's also because we did something wrong. We may not realize it and notice it. But therefore, that's the reason why we need this third form of tzaras. I'll read you the unbelievable language of the Klei Yoker in the end of Parshas Tazria, who says just this point. Nige begodim ve'abatim, the tzaras on clothing and on the home. Bli safek, without any doubt, she'enan boi mitzad hateva. They're unnatural. There's no way to describe, to explain logically, medically, scientifically, how one's clothing and one's home can contract this disease. Ki ein behem dam v'lechos. There's no blood. There's no moisture on the beged and on the bayis. Therefore, how can you contract any disease? Disease needs to grow on something. How could a disease grow on clothing and on a home? O kol ifush, o kol choli v'chol makeh. Al korchacha tzarach lomer shaboyim b'derech neis. You have to explain that these two forms of tzaras are miraculous. Al tzar ha'onesh, as a result of punishment. Therefore, we understand, the Kleyakar says, based upon the Ramban, that the latter two forms of tzaras are absolutely miraculous. Now listen to this line of the Kleyakar. V'zeh binyan av. This teaches us, gam al nige haguf, shem chutz leteva al tzara onash. This also teaches us that the first form of tzaras, tzaras on the body, is also miraculous, is also delivered by the hand of God. This is exactly the point that the Ramban makes. When it comes to all forms of miracles, when you see open miracles, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Makas Pechoros, Yaseres HaMakos, one knows and understands and appreciates fully that God is talking to me. But the only reason I've been given those miracles is for one reason only, to allow me to see the miracles in daily life. Sunrise, sunset, health, good fortune, that everybody's okay and healthy. That's what happens with tzaras habayis and tzaras haguf. The tzaras that attacks and that's contracted in one's home and one's clothing allows one to recognize and to hone one's vision to appreciate that the tzaras and the body is also God delivered, is also hand given. It's a nes nister, it's a hidden miracle. When it comes to tzaras on the home, it says vinasati, v'haya kisava, because those are open, obvious miracles. But the contraction of that form of tzaras in the home and on the clothing allows me to say, you know, when I'm getting sick, when I'm not feeling well, when I've received tzaras on my body, it must also be given by God. And with this, allow me to read you the powerful words of the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Tumas Tzaras, who explains that this is exactly the reason why tzaras is described in the opposite order of the way that it occurred. Remember, the Torah first tells us about tzaras on the guf, on the body, then tzaras on the beged, and then tzaras on the bias. But as the Rambam, as I will read to you momentarily, based upon Chazal, says it happened in the opposite order. Take a look at this. Says the Rambam, Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, the end of all of Hilchos Tumas Tzaras. Zeh hashinoi ha'amor bebigod mebatim. These changes, these very strange, miraculous occurrences that occurs in one's clothing and one's home, shikaro so Torah tzaras, that the Torah refers to as tzaras, b'shutvos Hashem eino miminhago shel olam, is not the natural course of events. Almost the identical language of the Ramban. Ela os upelahi b'Yisrael. But it's a miracle that occurred within the camp of Israel. Kedei lahasira milashon hara, to warn them about inappropriate speech, lashon hara. Shah misaper b'lashon hara, watch this. One who would speak lashon hara, mishtanos kiros habayis, the walls of a gossiper would change colors. The house would change. You would receive tzaras if you were a gossiper. You were talking lashon hara. When the world was the way the world was supposed to be, your home would change colors. The kiros habayis, the walls of the home would change colors. Im chazer bo, if you would do tshuva, yatayr habayis. The home, the walls of the home would become cleansed, purified. Vim amar berisho, if you continue to be stubborn and arrogant and you didn't do tshuva, Achehuta tzabayis mishtanim kli haor shebebeis ushuhiyo shebeshochelav. The instruments, the objects, the vessels in your home began to be afflicted with tzaras. And all the whole house, the couches, the beds, the kitchen utensils would be attacked with tzaras. This is the Rambam, the philosopher speaking. Vim chazerbo, if you did tshuva, and you recognize that my house was attacked, the walls of my home were attacked, my entire industry and my entire home was attacked, then I do tshuva, everything is okay. However, if I'm again arrogant, stubborn, and I'm tough, and I don't do tshuva, and I'm still a Rasha, all of those things burn, mishtanim habigadim she'olav, my clothing begin to become contracted of tzaras. However, if I do tshuva, my clothing will become purified.
V'mamar birisho, and after I get saras in the bias and saras in the beg, and I'm still stubborn, I'm still arrogant, I still don't stop doing what I'm doing. Ad shiyisrufu mishtane oro, then I get saras on my body. V'yitzara, v'yamuvdo l'mufursum levado shlo yisasek besichas harasham shihalitzus v'loshon hara.
So the Rambam describes to us, based upon the Gemara Maseches Yuma, the way that it occurred in real time, first the home, the walls of the home would contract saras, then the begad, and then the clothing, and finally the guf. Because the Torah is trying to teach us, do you understand? God says that I'm talking to you. I'm giving you an open miracle. I'm attacking the home, the walls of your house in saras. Do you see it? Do you see me? I'm talking to you. It's an open miracle. And if a person gets it, the house will be cleansed and you move on. But sometimes people don't even get an open miracle. Even Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, you could sin after that. As we know, Klal Yisrael, 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf, Mara, they complain, there's no water, we're dehydrated. So even after the home, the walls of your house are contracted with Saras, I can say, I don't know, maybe I don't get it. And then the begadim, the clothing, contracts Saras. Another open, incredible miracle. How can it be? As the Ramban described, that clothing can contract saras. There's no lechos, there's no dam, there's no moisture, there's no blood. It's an impossibility for walls of a home and for clothing on a person's body to contract saras. So if I get it with those open miracles, I become tahor. But if I still don't get it, you know what happens? Then the body gets attacked. The body contracts the saras. And therefore the Klei Yakar explains, that's the reason that the order that it's given in real time, is to teach us, min anisim hagidolim umifursamim, adam moda binisim nistarim. Through open miracles of tzaras habayis and tzaras habeger, vinasati, v'haya kisavo, shesi v'erev. If I see God's hand through the open miracle, I could also appreciate the miracle of my body. And that tzaras haguf is also a miracle of God. It's not an open miracle. It's not a nes golui, but it's a nes nistar. And the reason that God gives us nisim guluyim is to teach us nisim nistar. If that's the case, ask the Klei Yakar, why is it written in the opposite order in the Torah? Why is it for tzaras haguf, tzaras habeged, and tzaras habayis? Explains the Klei Yakar that just like in Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to warn Paro, I'm going to give you the most painful makkah, it's called makkas pechoros. Even though that's the last makkah, it's the first thing that Paro is told about. Because we always are going to warn a person sternly with what's going to happen at the end. But we slowly, carefully, ultimately give that punishment last. Even though the Torah tells us first, if you don't behave, you know what's going to happen, I'm going to send you to your room. But you don't send the child to the room, you send them to the room 2-3 times later. The same thing is true with the punishment that God delivers to man. I'll tell you you're going to get saras on your goof, I'll tell you you're going to get saras on your begad and on your bias. But I'll warn you with the most difficult, painful form of saras first, even though it will only be delivered last. Thus what emerges from the approach of the Rambam and the Ramban, as the Klei Yakar explains in Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, the famed pre-war Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva, his Sefer Das Torah to Parshas Tazria, also expresses and ultimately delivers and brings out this point, that the whole purpose of Tzaras and the Parshas of Tazria Mitzora in Yanei Diyoma is to teach us that God is talking to a people when we are in our best form. And a punishment is also a way that God speaks to us. And saras, although it was a punishment, it was painful, it was difficult, it still meant that there was a late relationship. It was a time when Klal Yisrael was acting appropriately. It was the times of the Mishkan. It was a time when there was Yisrael Shruim al Admasam. Klal Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, there was a Mishkan. There was a relationship, there was a conversation. You didn't do what you were supposed to do, I'm punishing you. Do you see it? I'm talking to you. You're getting saras on your house, and then on your clothing, and then on your goof. I'm talking to you, fix your way. And this all pains us. But when we understand and appreciate it in a different light, we almost hope and wish, halavai, we would be in the generation where we should be zoche to tzaras. It sounds almost strange. We say, oh, we should be zoche to geula, we should be zoche to the mishkan, we should be zoche to the mikdash. But along with that zechus is the zechus of tzaras. Is the zechus, the merit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to us and punishes us.
And we appreciate the punishment, because today when we're punished, we don't understand. We don't see. We don't feel. You know, I had a grandfather, my mother's grandfather, my great-grandfather, who I'm named after, Rabbi Moshe Gubner. He's an outstanding Talmud Chacham. He was a posik in the great Hungarian city of Ungvar. He was a Talmud of the Maram Shek. So my mother and grandmother tell me that he never took medication. He didn't take medicine. I'm not suggesting this to anybody. He was a person who lived differently. But he understood that if I'm sick, that means that God's talking to me. That means that I have to figure out what I did wrong. And I have to understand. And I have to appreciate. And by the way, this approach was the approach of the Ramban, Nachmanides, not the approach of the Rambam. The Rambam held, Virapa, Yirape, Mikan, Nitan, Loshos, Lerof, Virapos, you should go to a doctor. The Ramban had a different formula. A different time we could discuss this. But the Ramban's approach is, if I get sick, it means God is talking to me. And therefore, there were people, tzaddikim, over the years that lived like this. We don't live like this anymore. We haven't lived like this for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But there were a select few, and there continue to be a select few, even when they are sick, to realize and to appreciate, I could take medicine, I can go to the doctor, but the ultimate doctor, the doctor of all doctors, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches, explains, and talks to us in very real terms. I don't understand it, and I don't see it today, because we're living in a world of Hester Panim. It's hidden, and our relationship with God is hidden. It's like the teacher that doesn't tell the student, the parent that doesn't tell the child, and how painful that is when the child and when the student doesn't receive any reaction. The silent treatment is so hurtful, is so painful. We're living in a generation of the silent treatment from God. Our job is to search, to look, to pine, and to find, and to search, and to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, if you do good, I understand and I see it. If you don't do good, I also see it and I understand it, but I'm not telling you. And thus, that's part of the gullus, that's part of the exile that we live in today, that relationship has been severed. It's a form of a foreign relationship. But in the time that was good, and when Klal Yisrael were where they were supposed to be, the Tzaras HaBayis and the Tzaras HaBeged told us, God is talking to me. I spoke Lashon Hara. I didn't act appropriately. My walls of my house are getting discolored. It's Tzaras. If I got it good, and then my clothing would become green or red, and again I would see that I did something wrong. And from those great and open miracles would allow me to hone my vision, to appreciate, understand the body too, the tsaras that attacked is not natural, it's unnatural, it's miraculous. And thus this should explain to us the seder of the psukim, the parshios of Tazria Metzora, the reason why the Torah describes by Batim and by Beged the openness, the miraculous form of Tzaras, Venasati, V'hoya Kisavo, Shesi V'erev, on the Bais and the Beged, are only there to teach and to hone our vision to appreciate why even Tzaras Haguf was contracted. That's the reason you have to learn parshios Tazria Metzora and the totality of them. And that's why Tzaras HaBais is at the end, after the purification, after the Tara process, because it was so different, it was so unique, it was so miraculous, it has to be placed in a different parsha. It's placed in Mitzora because it's on a whole different level. It's on a whole different rung on a ladder. And thus, that is who we are. That's what we're about. So as we enter the Yom Tov of Pesach, one of the goals of Pesach is to appreciate the open miracles of Hashem. Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yams of the Makos, all of which we will spend time on at the Seder, and discuss God's incredible ability to deliver us out of the hands of the Egyptians in the most miraculous, open way that anybody has ever seen. Kriyas Yams of Rashivcha Layam Ashwaraya Cheskel Bembuzi. But the goal of Pesach is not Pesach. The goal of Pesach is the after Pesach. The goal of Pesach is to reach Matan Torah and to go beyond that. And is to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our daily lives. When it's not Pesach, when it's not Shavuos, when it's not Sukkos, when we're not in the Midbar, when we're not in Eretz Yisrael. Open miracles give us the encouragement, the chizuk, and the inspiration to live with God every single day. When it's quiet, when it's dark, when it's difficult. Tov lehodos l'Hashem l'zamer l'shim chalyon. The Yom Tov of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Yom Tov of Pesach, should give us the stamina, the energy, and we should use it as an energizer to allow us to live our lives also seeing the hand of Hashem in everything that occurs in our lives and our families' lives. Amir Hashem, we should have a wonderful, wonderful Yantaf, a Yantaf full of Simcha, Sason. We should be zochah to go from Galus to Geula, from Avelus to Yom Tov, from sadness to happiness, from difficulties, from trials and tribulations, to Sason v'Simcha for each of us, for our families, and for all Klal Yisrael. We should be zochah again to see Hashem's hand in a very, very open way.